Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund at Husky Stadium, where Washington defeated Colorado 54-7 in front of an announced crowd of 67,900 and change. Weather to kickoff, 42 degrees, and I'll tell you right now, it was freaking cold down on the field. It was really, really cold. Everybody was complaining their feet were numb.
It was 30 degrees, according to the... By the end of the game.
Yeah, 42 at kickoff. It's saying it's 35 degrees out. That might be downtown Seattle, but yeah, they must be next to a heater. It was pretty freaking cold down there. So senior night, Reggie Williams, big blowout. We got to see Dylan Morris, didn't see Sam Heward. Lots to cover on all that and more. And Washington won the toss and deferred. I thought they'd take the ball.
No, why? I think we saw why. They scored on every single possession in the first half except for the missed field goal. So why would they need why would they need to get the ball first?
Would they take the ball against Wazoo?
Now on the road, we talked about a little bit, we talked about this pregame this morning. This is when you're on the road like that, you need to set the tone, and you think you can jump out to an early lead and hopefully swing some momentum early. I think that makes sense here, especially with every. I mean, let's put it this way: Colorado was a 31 point dog, and they lost by how many? 47?
46.
Okay, 46.
Wasn't it 53?
It was 54. So 47 points. Not even close. They have not been able to reach a spread in the last three games, and they've all been 30-plus spreads.
It's just hard to see what Colorado is going through right now. They lost 23 guys to the portal. It's difficult to bring guys in. They are outmanned, out-talented. It's going to take a few years for them to get it together, but I was talking to a guy on the sidelines, and he's got a kid playing linebacker for Issaquah, and Issaquah hasn't won a game yet this year, and he said, this is like Issaquah every week playing Bellevue and Eastside Catholic. It's just not fair, and this is Colorado's just outmanned.
I mean, I was reading some after I posted the game wrap, there were some people on our message board saying that they were talking to the people around them, and they said it felt like witnessing a murder, which was like, you're like a sadist, Kim. You're like laughing at the beginning of this thread, talking about, Colorado gets killed 54-7. Ah, very funny. This was pure demolished.
Yeah, I was bad for them.
This was just really bad football on their end in all three phases.
Yeah, it's going to take a few years. And, you know, from my understanding, they want to bring in an experienced coach, and Bronco Mendenhall's the name that's being thrown around. But you're starting from ground up, especially when you're not able to bring transfers in. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to start from ground up, and it's going to take a while to get this program. It wasn't that long ago we had, you know, watching Steven Montez, and, you know, they were ranked, and it was a really good team. Well, it wasn't that long ago.
Sepo
Leofau is the one who took them to the title game in 2016.
Yeah, and that was the one year where it looked like Mike McIntyre was starting to really build something. Mm-hmm. And then they go right back in the gutter the very next year. So, I mean, even teams that have a little success or some modest success, it doesn't literally just go from the outhouse to the penthouse and back to the outhouse literally in a span of 3 years. It's just so weird that that's happened, yet that's something that's followed Colorado in the last 5-10 years, kind of no matter what changes they've made.
Washington just... Once they got the football, there was no stopping them.
Yeah, they put their foot on the pedal. They didn't take it off until very late in the game. They went out and took care of business, and that was kind of the theme. We asked several of the players after the game, how hard was it to get focused on Colorado, seeing as you just beat Oregon, You got the Apple Cup next week. This is a 1-9 team that's very listless right now. It doesn't have a lot of stuff going on. And they said it would have been human nature to have that happen. But the thing is, Coach DeBoer and the rest of the staff basically made sure we understood we need to take care of business. You don't go out and get a win like they did against Oregon and then slack off and not take care of business against Colorado.
And up here in the press box, they had some of the post-game stuff with Tony Castrico and Kalen DeBoer. And DeBoer said that the thing that they were really harping on the players on, they wanted to do this for the seniors because this was their legacy game. This was their way of being able to finish the season at home 7-0. First time that's happened since 2000.
Okay,
is that right?
That's what we thought, but the TV showed 2017. They did it, so we'll have to go back and look.
I put that in my game wrap, so yeah. I guess I'm going to have to. This is the last time I trust you on any of these stats.
That's what I was told that by the media people. So,
yeah, Washington, wanted to come out and throw the football, it looked like, and Colorado was, they just finally got to the point where they were dropping 8.
Yep.
So how did Washington counter? They ran for 280 net yards today.
Yeah, I mean, they had a huge game on the ground. Wayne Talapapa, what was his second 100-yard game, third?
He had at least, second. I thought he had one earlier in the season.
Yeah, second. It's a second.
Yeah.
It's a second 100-yard game.
He had a really good game. I thought Cam Davis ran really well. It was good to see Richard Newton get back out there. JV on Sunday had a carry. I mean, they got everybody involved.
Sam Adams had a touchdown run. What was that, about 20 yards called back? Down here in the corner.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Garbage time.
He did have the 15-yard catch and run for the touchdown.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
that wasn't called back.
There was one that I don't remember one getting called back.
There was a couple holds late in the fourth quarter. I don't remember.
I think they were plays that got called back.
There were a couple plays that got called back because of holds, but it didn't deter Dylan Morris, who was running the second team at that time.
Yeah, just total domination by Washington. Just some numbers that really, really jump out. When you talk about 280 net yards rushing, Colorado had 79. Total yards passing was 295 for Washington. So 280, 295. So that means they had a total of 575 net yards. And Colorado only had 202 yards for the entire game. Washington ran 81 plays. What was there? That's close to a season high?
No.
What was the season high?
Season high was closer to like 87, 88, if I remember right.
Colorado.
But it's up there. It's up there.
Yeah, anytime you get over 80, you're moving. And you're using the ball a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember what the time of possession was, but yeah, they had it almost 33 minutes. So, yeah.
The only bright spot for Colorado, I thought, was our running back in Alex Fontenot, 11 carries for 71 yards. He's a good back.
Yeah, he's tough, but he isn't a guy who's going to make you miss. I mean, the guys that watched him played last week are probably the best backs. I mean, Zach Charbonnet is really good too, but they're the best backs Washington has faced all season long.
Yeah, and Fondo, he had a 100-yard game against USC, and so he was starting to come into his own a little bit. But there's no doubt if you can stack the box, force those guys to run. JT Shrout, the Tennessee transfer who was the quarterback for Colorado tonight. He just was outmanned. I mean, even the one play where they gashed Washington for the bomb should have been picked off. I mean, it should have been picked off.
I thought Javion.
Yes.
Javion Green.
I think he thought it was a punt.
No, he just played it bad.
It was just footwork. He didn't need to backpedal. He just needed to turn and run.
Yeah, he was backpedaling on it. It looked like he had it. I think everybody thought it was going to be an interception.
As soon as Chris left his hand.
Chris said pick.
It's picked. As soon as it left his hand, I saw Javion Grant. I was like, this is picked. And literally, he looked like he ended up going right into like a bag of quicksand or something.
JT Shrout, the quarterback for Colorado, was 6 of 18 for 129 yards, and that's with a 69-yard pass included. And then he got knocked out of the game, and they brought in Drew Carter, who was their fourth-string quarterback. So JT Shrout was actually a transfer in from Tennessee, pretty highly regarded guy. He's a big kid. Looks like the real deal at times throwing the ball, but man, he's just got nothing around him.
No,
well, if they could have taken Shrout's somewhat passing ability with Carter's running ability, you might actually have had a Colorado quarterback that could have maybe done a thing or two. Because as soon as Carter came into game as the full time, because by that time obviously Colorado had raised the white flag and Washington had as well. You know, he started to get some things done. Carter did with his legs. He gashed Washington a few times. But against, that was like against Washington's third teamers. Washington played 69 players tonight.
That's a lot.
That has to be the most, I think, this year.
Denzel Boston was out there.
Yeah.
Mean he burned his red, does that mean he burned his red shirt?
I don't think so. I think he'd only played in one game. I could be wrong on that, but I thought he'd only played.
He's played more than one.
Like Javon Parker played, and so I don't know if that means
he's already
out. But there's tons of a lot of walk-ons guys like Austin Harnso. I mean, this was apparently his first game, freshman walk-on linebacker.
Sean Jimmy Stout had three tackles.
Yeah, and to finish the game with back-to-back sacks with Maurice Himes and Jacob Bandis was phenomenal. Obviously, they must have been going up against Colorado's backup offensive line, but still, Himes in the short cameo that he got, wow. I mean, he showed some things. I think there's reason to be excited if you're a Washington fan, thinking about the potential of a guy like Maurice Himes next year.
I think if you knew anything about Colorado, you would know how much they struggled, and this was going to be a difficult game for them to hang tight, unless Washington still had some hangover from Oregon, but boy, it looks like that didn't happen, and you know, Kalen DeBoer said that they had something to play for. Going undefeated at home meant something to these guys. So,
well, it shouldn't have been. That is a great thing, but it shouldn't have been meant just that. It should have also been, hey, we've got a chance to get 10 wins, and we've got a very, very long shot, outside shot at winning or going to the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, that's still there. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Well, with USC winning tonight and whatever's going on in Eugene, those are all good things for Washington. So we'll see.
Yeah, and from my understanding, it's either going to be the 12:30 or the 7:30 game. If Oregon loses, there's a better chance of it early. If Oregon wins, there's a better chance of it being a night game. But we still don't have a time. Expecting that tomorrow?
No, it could be actually right after the Oregon game tonight.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Saw Holiday Bowl guys here tonight, by the way.
And yep. Alamo.
Alamo Bowl. Okay, and that would be acceptable to either of us.
At this point, Oregon's ahead, so thinking 7:30?
Yeah, very likely.
Very likely 7:30.
Yeah, so also senior night, and just a couple of notes on that. Some of the guys that were running out the tunnel, I think Jackson Kirkland was probably the most emotional.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the other guy that didn't notice, and we didn't get a chance to talk to him after the game, was Michael Penix. I don't know if you noticed when he was running out. He sure took his time to take it all in. And then post-game, he sat down at the entrance to the tunnel.
He did autographs, right?
He was doing autographs. And for a long, long, long time. So, you know, Michael Penix talks about being a dog, and I think he's really enjoyed his experience here. So
he has. And obviously Washington fans are hopeful that he'd come back. But the simple fact of the matter is, given his injury history, given the way he's played this year, he literally has nothing to prove to anybody. He's put enough film out there right now. I mean, there's people out there that have posted that There's draft guys out there, guys that do mocks for a living and things like that, that have Penix as a potential first-round guy. I don't see him as a first-round guy myself. But the fact that people are already talking about him in that way should tell Washington fans the chances of him coming back are nil.
It's like we always say, though, and you say it a lot, Chris, all it takes is one team to fall in love with you, and you get drafted. So I think he's more of a second, third-round guy, but either way, he's going to get paid next year to play.
Well, Washington fans want the Seahawks to take a guy like that. It's like, you could take him in the second round. Well, you don't have to be a first-round guy.
He's what, 24?
Is he that old?
This is his fifth year, probably 23 at least.
I
was going to say, did he go to college when he was 19?
Some kids
possibly.
Do.
Yeah. 18, I don't know.
18 when you graduate, 19 when
you're 23. 23 wouldn't surprise me if he was that old.
So, I mean, do you want a 24, 25-year-old quarterback?
For the Huskies, yes.
How old was the guy from Florida when he got drafted?
Chris Winkie?
Yeah.
He was 27.
Yeah.
So something like that.
Did he go in the first round?
Did he?
Late first? I don't remember.
Whenever he went.
Yeah. There is no chance that Michael Penix comes back next
year. I just don't see a reason for him to come back. Because
that said, Washington's going to make they're gonna make a push. I mean, they're going to try to do whatever they can to convince him to come back. I still don't think that's going to happen.
The thing is, there's two reasons you come back. First reason is because you have unfinished business. You want to take care of everything. Possibly win a conference title. Possibly go to the playoffs. The other reason is to increase your draft value. When it comes to his draft value, I don't see it getting any higher than it is right now.
Well, there's one other reason.
Why?
The same reason Bruce Harrell didn't. You know, he didn't want to play in the NFL. He wanted to go to law school.
Yeah. So, but I don't think Michael Penix is a smart guy, but I don't think he's that guy.
I don't think he's thinking about law school.
I don't think so either. You know, but no, it was good to see him. You know, post game, and another guy we were really happy to see. Boy, I'll tell you. Reggie Williams, he's still got that aura around him. He's still got that vibe, and him and Cody together. I mean, it's just like two puppies who haven't seen each other in a couple of years, and they finally get back, and they just go crazy. But it was really, really good to see Reggie, and he's got a 13-year-old that looks like a dude, by the way.
I didn't see him on the sidelines. I just saw Reggie.
Yeah, he's got a 13-year-old son, and I asked him what position he played. He looked at me like he's crazy, and a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of course.
You know, but the only thing that really kind of surprised me today was garbage time. We didn't get to see Sam Heward.
No. I mean, DeBoer talked about that. He just said that given how that pick happened with Westover, and then he wanted those guys to get back into a rhythm offensively, and that's where you had that 87-yard drive that took, what,
12 plays,
6 minutes, right? Something like that. And as soon as that happens, you know, the coaches are just like, this clock is going like crazy. And they still got the ball back. But he goes, by that time, both teams had basically raised the white flags. And so you want to get those guys some meaningful reps. You don't want to put in a guy like Sam just to literally hand it off. If you're going to do that, you might as well just keep Dylan Morris in.
Well, and here's the thing. I think if Washington gets out to a lead and they start playing some backups next week, which I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But
doubtful.
But yeah. I doubt it happens. But if they did, I could see them putting Sam in. Yeah. For the reps next week.
It's possible.
Yeah. Wayne Talapapa, 11 carries for 107 yards. Cameron Davis, 12 carries for 59. Giles Jackson, 2 for 26. And Richard Newton ran hard, 6 carries for 21 yards. Michael Penix, 19 of 31. Is that a season low in pass attempts for Michael Penix?
Yep.
Yeah. 19 of 31 for 229, one touchdown. And the other big number for Michael Penix, he was sacked 0 times. Jalen McMillan was the big target today with 10 targets, 8 receptions for 98 yards, 1 touchdown. Jalen Polk had 4 targets, 3 receptions for 39, and Romo Dunsey was only targeted 3 times with 2 receptions for 17 yards. But lots of guys with receptions on there. Washington only punted 1 time. Leading tackler, nothing really jumped out on that, but leading tackler was Alex Cook with 6 tackles. Anything jump out at you on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, no, it's really just the sacks by the Himes and Bandis, and then Alex Cook got my Defensive Player of the Night award. He led the way with the tackles and everything like that, and I thought he was pretty solid. I thought he and Asa did have that nasty miss that we talked about because he went high, but
I'd say for the most part the tackling improved a lot. But again, depending on what we're talking about with the opponent, does that make it easier to tackle them? I thought that they would probably try to stack the box a little bit more. We saw it the very, very first play of the game where they went jumbo, got a good play out of that. And then kind of went back to their 4-3. And it's not like it hurt them at all, but I kind of expected maybe guys like Ale and some of those other guys to play a little bit more than they actually ended up doing.
Yeah, I know Washington fans, you know, are always complaining about tackling. But, boy, that touchdown run by Jalen McMillan, that shoulder the guy threw into Jalen McMillan trying to tackle him. Is that the worst tackle attempt you've seen in a while?
Well, I saw some bad ones last week, but... But yeah, I mean, Jalen isn't this big burly guy, so to see him break a couple tackles was a little like, okay.
Yeah, the one guy. Did you see the one guy just kind of tried to bump him to tackle him?
Sure.
Didn't wrap his arms around.
Colorado's done. There's
plenty of guys on Washington's team that do the exact same thing.
Yeah. They don't use their arms last week.
They don't use their arms at all, and who knows why? I know we're getting to the end of the season. Guys are banged up. Guys are trying to get through any way they can, so sometimes the technique gets sloppy as a result. But like I said, I think generally speaking, whether the opponent had anything to do with that, I thought the tackling generally was much, much better.
Yeah. Is there anything really to take away from this game?
Yes. Washington knows how to put away a an opponent.
Yeah.
That was one thing under Chris Peterson, I think, that we never felt that they did very well. And even under Steve Sarkisian, they didn't do that very well either. But this team seems to know how to put the pedal to the metal and not ease off until the game is way out of reach.
Could Colorado beat Kent State?
No.
I don't think so.
Could they beat Portland State?
Yes. I think they could.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just a really
doable, but debatable, which is in itself is a scary thought.
Portland State was pretty bad.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't remember how they did. Did they do in the Big Sky this year? They do something?
No idea.
I have no idea.
All right.
They play at a high school stadium, though. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? The other thing we should talk about, though, if we're talking about DeBoer, he made history today. He's the first Washington coach to win 9 games in his first season, beating Chris Peterson, who won 8 in 2014.
I can't remember, but I know we posted the coach's salary database. Is there a... did he reach any incentives yet?
I think most of the incentives are either APR based for academics or bowl games.
Yeah.
So if they make like a New Year's Six game, for instance, that probably bumps him up a little bit. If they win, that's going to bump him up even more. But he's in line, and obviously there's a lot of people out there that think that all those guys are probably going to be in line for bonuses or raises anyway.
By the way, so. As the clock is winding down and we're waiting for the elevator. By the way, I waited for 8 minutes of clock. So what is that? Probably 16 to 20 minutes for the elevator.
Usually double, right?
Yeah, it was bad. Anyway, we're watching the game. You know what the over-under for that game was, tonight's game was? 61.5.
And what was it?
It was a 60-point game. Oh.
61-point
game.
A 61-point game.
Dude, that is freaky.
I'll tell you, Vegas either gets the over-under or they get the spread.
Perfect.
Perfect every time. Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah.
In this case, that was to
Can
be
you imagine being someone who had the over and just going, come on, Colorado, just kick a field goal.
Or Washington. Washington's up 33-0 at the half, and you're thinking, well, if they double that, I'm in.
Mm.
And they could have... I think there's a chance they could have maybe gotten to 60 points.
Well,
I mean, they did.
They have the turnover from Westover, and yeah.
Right, but they did. They had a couple drives that ended up with nothing in the second half. In fact, they had, you know, one drive, obviously, with the interception, the bounce off of Westover's pads. They give up on downs at the one. I mean, yep. They score on that at the one if Talapapa gets credit for the touchdown. We had some fans that thought
but
he actually
made
it.
They went in and scored when
I get it.
On the ensuing
I mean, I get it, but if they score then, I mean... Who knows what happens? The other thing, Kim, real quick, I have to give a lot of credit to Peyton Henry, as well as he's done with the game-winning field goals, back-to-back games against Oregon State and Oregon. He is now Washington's all-time leader in total points. Jeff Jaeger had that with 380 points when he graduated in 1986. So what is that? That's 36 years in the making. Peyton Henry now has 382 points, and he broke the record when he kicked his field goal.
A little bit of recruiting news tonight, Scott?
Well, there's just quite a bit of recruits on
the offer.
Oh, well...
New offer.
Yeah. We're hearing rumors that there was an offer that was given out today, but the person told us not to say anything, didn't he? Until the...
No, I just don't think... I don't think... Well, I mean, bottom line is it doesn't matter. I mean, offers are coming.
Okay.
So and they had a lot of local kids here, so...
Okay, Royce Cleland... Cam Cleland's son was offered. He's a lineman out of Jesuit.
Yeah. It sure sounds like he got offered.
Yeah, we're pretty sure that
we'll try to confirm
but
that.
He was up here on the sidelines. He was having fun.
Is he a lineman or a tight end?
Lineman. No question, lineman.
Okay.
6'4", 280. Yeah, lineman.
Well, how big was Cam?
And he's a 20. Well, I mentioned he's a 2024 kid, so he's still got 2 years left.
Yeah. He plays line.
Cam was about that size, wasn't he? About 270?
Maybe when he was in college.
Well, I shouldn't say 2 years, sorry. He's got a senior year to go. So.
Wrap it up, Scott Eklund.
Good win. Good way to come off of a big win over Oregon and stay focused and get it over. I mean, it could have easily been a bad situation where they were looking ahead to Wazoo. They didn't do that. They took care of business. This game, we said it during the week, was more about Washington than it was Colorado. If Washington came in and took care of business, this shouldn't have been a close game. They did that, and it wasn't a close game. So now we're on to Apple Cup. It's going to be fun. We're only going to have 2 days of media stuff. We just found out tonight. So We'll get you as much as we can, and then Wednesday and Thursday are kind of quiet.
Turkey so, time.
Yeah, and then Friday is probably a little quiet too, but then Saturday is going to be full bore. And I guess hopefully we'll find out soon what time the game is going to be.
Chris Fetters, wrap it up.
Yeah, same thing with Scott. I think that Kalen DeBoer and the staff are getting a crash course on Apple Cup 101 here right now. Just like the Oregon game, I think they found out pretty quickly just how much that means to Husky Nation and to the alumni and to the players. And especially with the way the Apple Cup was lost last year, I think that really rubbed a lot of the players, current players in this team, the wrong way. They certainly want to finish that off the right way. They want to correct that wrong. And so I think this is going to be a hell of a game because Washington State went down and beat Arizona today in a game that Arizona quarterback Jaden Delora, the Washington State quarterback, said was personal. And Washington State went down there and took it personal, I guess, and beat them pretty well. So Washington State's playing at a high level right now. Obviously, Washington's playing at a high level. Both teams are playing with a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence. So it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. And when I mean shootout, I don't necessarily mean high-scoring game. I just mean a really competitive game from start to finish. I think that's the classic game where a turnover or a sudden change play, something like that, could end up spelling the difference.
We have media Monday. We have media Tuesday. We have basketball Wednesday. We have basketball on Thursday.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, why are you looking at Scott when you're saying that?
Because he said it was going to be slow. There's always
for the football side, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, so. And then we still don't have a start time for the Apple Cup, so we'll see what happens. Really happy to see Cody and Reggie on the sidelines. Just Reggie's just got so much energy, so it's just crazy seeing it, Reggie. And then, like I said, not a lot to take. I was just really I feel bad, and I've never said that. I feel bad for what's going on in Colorado. They deserve better than that. So.
But at the same time, how good must you feel for guys like Jackson Kirkland, Peyton Henry, Alex Cook, Henry Bainavalu, you know, all these guys that suffered through 4-8 last year. A guy like Henry Bainavalu didn't even know if he was going to be able to come back because of injury and his knee. He comes back, has a great year. So many great stories of the seniors and the guys that came in. Even guys like Chris Moll, Cam Bright, Jordan Perryman, guys that have persevered, whether it's through injury or just through trying to figure out what to do offensively and defensively. They've done a fantastic job. So I think hats off to all those seniors and all those grad guys that came in and did a huge job and were a big part of this 9-2 team right now.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I saw Jackson Kirkland on the field right after the game. I won't tell you what he said, but just trust me. He flushed this game. He's ready for Wazoo.
Oh, I'm sure.
If they said, we're stopping the game, we're going to go to the Apple Cup, we're going to play, Jackson Kirkland's the first guy on the plane. So
yeah, well, and that's why Kalen DeBoer was asked questions about it right off the bat. No one really even wanted to talk about the Colorado game.
Yeah. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grenolds, along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.